I know I've had an interesting one already. I'm learning how to be a homeowner. We had some water in our basement. We got some water backing up, so getting trial by fire already here. And he passed me to comment. He didn't know he went on the rabbit trail this morning. I think it was for me because, you know, I know for myself I'm learning to be a husband right now, how to be the godly influence in my home. When I went downstairs and I was doing laundry and I went down to change laundry and I come out and there's a stream of water flowing across the floor there and I'm thinking, oh, what's going on? So I run another load and I find out, oh, it's backing up the pipe. It wasn't terrible. I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to get that dealt with. And then I'm in the shower and I hear the words that every husband longs for their wife to say. Don't freak out, bud. And I go, oh, man. But there's like a couple inches of water downstairs. I'm like, all right, I'll be down. So I, at the point in the house, so I still don't know where any of my stuff is. So I'm thinking, like, I got to go down to water. So I wind up finding my winter boots, my ice fishing boots. And here I am in basketball shorts and big burly boots walking around in water trying to figure out what's going on. And the downstairs toilet, the water is coming backwards through it for no apparent reason. It was not flushed or clogged. It's just water's going backwards. So I'm trying to plunge it to make it go down, and water's shooting up through where the bolts are. I'm thinking, oh, this is not good. So I take my shop back and get it all up, and lo and behold, it was slow trickle, and I came back down this morning. I got water, so. But I think it's God just, he said, all right, well, now you got a home. I bless you with that. Now you're going to learn how to be a homeowner and a husband, and I need these Sunday school lessons because I'm learning. I've only been married for a few months, and I got to keep in perspective that not only do I have to deal with that, I have to be a good example to my wife because inside I'm screaming, mainly because I'm not a plumber, and I have no idea what I'm supposed to do here now. I'm a glass guy. If you need glass, I'm your man. You need anything else, I'm figuring it out as I go. So, but I just thought I'd show you, tell you that little story. If anybody's wondering why he has those rabbit trails in Sunday school, it's for me. It's for me. I'm a new husband, and I need to hear it. God's definitely blessing me with it, for sure. Let's go ahead to the word, to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless this service. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for church, Lord. We thank You for this church family. We thank You for our pastor. Lord, we thank You for the Word of God that we get to come around and get to learn from and know all the truths that we need in our lives. Lord, we're thankful even for the trials. Lord, I'm learning now that through the trials is how You refine us. Lord, and I'm also glad that we can just be honest with each other and joke about it and see, at least for myself, how inadequate I am in so many areas, Lord. But You use that to draw me closer to You. Lord, I'm so thankful that You're always there to hear our prayers. Lord, You're always there to guide us. Lord, I couldn't do this life without You. Lord, there's so many lost people in this world, in this society today, and I don't know how they get through a day. I don't know how they do it, Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful that I have You to come to.
Amen.
Lord, we ask that You'd be in this service this morning. Lord, we know that You live in us. Lord, I pray that even now as I pray, Lord, if there be anybody here, including myself, that has something in their heart that would hinder this service, Lord, I pray we'd make it right. Lord, I pray that we would come here with a heart and a mind ready to hear Your word, that the Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us as individuals. Lord, I pray that You would take our pastor and You'd hide him behind the cross. You'd fill him with Your power. That the Holy Spirit would speak through him, Lord, and give the message that You've laid upon his heart. Lord, please preach through him, Lord. And not only speak to our hearts, Lord, but speak to his as he preaches. Lord, I'm so thankful to be saved. So thankful to have the assurance of heaven. Lord, if there be anybody here that's not sure that they're going to heaven this morning, Lord, I pray that You would work on their heart. Help them to hear the truth of God, Lord. Help them to understand their need for a Savior.
Yes.
And help them to trust You this morning.
Amen.
Lord, we're going to thank You for what You'll do here this morning and give You the praise for it. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
If you would, turn with me to page 344. And if you're able, I'd ask that you please stand as we sing Satisfied. Satisfied, that's for sure. If you would, turn over with me to page 32. Page 32. what I was thinking. Think about that for a second. While all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care. Wow, that just hit me like a ton of bricks when we were saying that. Borrows life from thee. And if you're saved, you're gonna get to borrow that life eternally. What a blessing. You may be seated.
That stanza jumped out to me right away, right there. Borrowed life from God. How many of us think that our lives are our own? We don't keep our heart beating. We don't control the air we breathe. That's all innate of God. God put it in us. God keeps our heart beating. God allows our lungs to breathe in the very air that we breathe in this morning. Thank the Lord for that. Brother, we must be related somehow. We must be related somehow. I'll tell you a little story about myself. So I haven't been married that long, probably 10 years there. We had three little boys, and Melanie was pregnant with Ellie. And we lived in a double-wide mobile home down there in South Carolina. Again, I can't build nothing, I can't make nothing, I can't even do anything with glass but look in it or look through it. So I'm not very handy with my hands, but we had a problem with our toilet in the boys' bathroom. So I thought I'd go back there and try to fix it. And so Melanie's pregnant with Ellie, pretty far along. It's raining outside. I can't figure out what's going on in the toilet. So I said, I'm going to fix it. So I go down to my knees there by that toilet, right? And there's a tube coming up, obviously, where water comes in. There's a little cutoff valve there. Because I know what I'm doing. So I start to take it apart. And Melanie's standing there. I'm out there. She's standing. She's looking at me. She's pregnant. She goes, I don't think you're doing that right. And she said something along those lines. She said, you sure you know what you're doing? I said, I know what I'm doing. I got this.
We're calling it over.
I unhooked it from underneath the cutoff valve. Yeah. Water going everywhere. I'm trying to stick it back on there again. It ain't going back on there again. So water's going everywhere. Melanie! Melanie! She's laughing. She's laughing. Water all over my glasses, water going everywhere in the bathroom. She's sitting there laughing. I said, what are you laughing at? She's just laughing. So I said, get some towels. So she's bringing in piles of dirty laundry, throwing it in there, trying to suck. Water's going everywhere. So my cutoff valve's out. We live in a half acre of land, so I'm running out to the street to try to get the cutoff valve. I run to the shed. I can't find a tool to cut the water off. I know inside there's water spurting everywhere. I finally find it. I run out to the cutoff valve, and I pull a little lid off it, and it's full of mud. So I'm digging all the mud, and it's raining outside, and the neighbors are probably like, what is going on? Got the water cut off, but we're related somehow. Later on, like now, they were calling about. I'm laughing at it now, but back then it wasn't funny. It was not a funny situation. But I thank God for my wife. She's just sitting there laughing at me like, yeah, you said you got it. Yeah, I don't got it. So there was another little cartoon I saw of a man. He's at a grill. And he's doing something. A little boy says something. He's like, I got it. Next thing he knows, the grill's shooting up towards the moon. Right? Anytime somebody says, I got it, I'm watching now. Unless you know what you're doing. Like, you say you got it with glass, I trust you. But if you don't know what you're doing, you say, I got it, I'm stepping back a few feet. Amen. God's good, though. God is good. There's a lot of things we do in our life, and we look back at it, and now we can laugh about it. But at the time, it was not funny. But thank the Lord for His mercy and grace. Just some people to pray for this morning. Please keep Brother June in prayer and Sister May. They're going through it. He's really going through it. She got tested for COVID last week because someone at her work came down with it. She ended up getting tested. She is feeling halfway fine from what I gather. But Brother June is really, he concerned me. So keep him in prayer with his lungs, with his coughing. Brother Joe Coble as well. Something's going on there with Derek, his son. So he went and got tested and came back positive for Brother Joe. So that's why they're not in church this morning. So keep them in prayer. Keep Pastor Reddy in prayer and his family. His daughter had the baby. But please keep his daughter-in-law in prayer as well. The complications going on there. If you'd like to give money to them or support them in some way, please get with Miss Donna, and she can help with that situation there to try to get some support over to him. If you're interested in doing so, please just talk with Miss Donna. But please keep him in prayer, keep his daughters in prayer, his son, and his son-in-law also, and the babies as well, that God would just help in those situations there. Glory to God, that picture you sent a sister, Alita Harris. She's back home now. She's in a wheelchair, but glory to God, she had that heart transplant. They didn't think, there was a couple of climbs there, they didn't think she was going to make it. But she's back home with her husband and her boys, so thank the Lord for that. But God does answer prayer. That's an answer to prayer. If you were praying for Alita Harris, God answered that prayer. And she's back home. Please keep praying for her, that the body will continue to keep that and won't reject that heart that they put in there and any other complications, and that she'll get better and be able to get to church and things like that. So thank the Lord for that. Amen.
Kindred toilet stories. I actually did know there's a shut-off valve, and I went to shut the water off on this toilet because you can just see all the seal has gone bad now. I'm trying to shut the water off because that's where the water is leaking. The washer, the whole other store, I need the main line. And that's above my pay grade. But I went to turn it off. I'm like, oh, let me just shut the water off. There's no knob. It is just sheer off the thing. So I tried to put a vice grips on it to try to turn it. That thing ain't turning. So at that point, I sucked it up with a shop vac, and I said, it's bedtime. We'll check on it in the morning. When we first came down, there was no water. And then by the time we were ready for church, there was another inch or two of water down there. But whatever. We're calling a guy. So, all right. For our last song here, let's turn to page 217, because I got a lot to be thankful for. We're going to sing Thank You, Lord. If you're able, I'd ask you please stand with me. Sing page 217.
Something like that. One more time.
Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to
song if you really want it. I'll say it again. It's a good song if you really want it.
Amen.
I'll say it one more time. It's a good song if you really want it. All right. See, you can get up and you can See, it's good. That's one thing dangerous about music, is it can stir the emotions. Just a closer walk with thee, Jesus, for 1 hour on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for the song, guys. I appreciate it. But I said it in Sunday school. I don't want music moving me. I want God moving me.
Amen.
Brethren, Take your Bible, look at Romans chapter 2, please, this morning. Romans chapter 2, this morning. Romans chapter 2, and I'd like you to look here, if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter 2, verse number 1. Romans chapter 2, verse number 1. Two messages in one this morning. Romans chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says this, if you're able to stand in verse number 1. We looked, this is a continuation as we go into chapter number 2. It's a continuation from chapter number 1. All right? Just because there's, the way the Lord wrote these letters, Paul didn't put chapter and verses in there. The translators, as they gave us our King James Bible, and before that they put in chapters and verses to help us as we read our Bible to cross-reference it and to get where we need to be. But this letter here is a continuation from what he says in chapter number 1. And if you will with me, read chapter 1 and verse number 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. God is so uplifting this morning. Oh, these are just so uplifting scriptures this morning. Preacher, why you always got to preach on gloom and doom? His Bible, verse number 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore, because of these things, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth, according against them which commit such things. Verse 3, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness. Lord, I ask for your help, dear God. Lord, I ask for your help. Lord, I don't know how to go in, how do I come out, dear God. Lord, my brain is nothing, dear Lord. And I ask for your direction. I ask for your guidance. I ask for your words. Lord, the right spirit, dear God. Lord, to be liberty here this morning to preach your word. Lord, that we would not be playing games, dear God. Lord, that we wouldn't play games, dear God, but that we'd be serious with you, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name, that he may be magnified, glorified, and adored. Amen. You may be seated. Brethren, I come to church this morning because I desire to meet with God. I pray this morning because I desire to meet with God. I read my Bible because I desire to meet with God. I'm afraid sometimes in a lot of churches that individuals and brethren want a preacher and not a pastor. Think about that for a second. They want a preacher, but they don't want a pastor. You see, because a pastor is going to lead, guide, and direct a flock, but a lot of sheep don't want that because they don't want to follow the direction of the shepherd or the pastor. But God has established those things. See, it's a lot easier to listen to preaching than a pastor. Brethren, the Lord has laid some things heavy on my heart this week, and we look here at Romans chapter 2, and we see that all are guilty before God. We're going to find that out in chapter 3, that there's none righteous, there's none that seeketh after God. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, and that's evident in Romans chapter 1 and verses 28 through 32. We're guilty. We're guilty. Implacable. You know what implacable means? It means you can't be, you're unyielding. That's implacable. Without understanding, backbiters, haters of God, debate, deceit, malignity, fornication. We're guilty before God. And what God's looking for this morning, is, like I said in the Sunday school hour, is just to admit that I need help and I'm wrong, God, and I need you. Rather than covering it up with a facade of Christianity. You see, that's what we have today. We have very few hardwood Christians. We have a lot of Christians today that are pressed wood. And when pressed wood gets wet, it's useless.
You get a hardwood wet and it's still going to be hard and you can still use it. Brethren, as a pastor today, I'm wanting God to do something this morning. I'm wanting God to meet with us this morning. I'm wanting the Lord to do something in my life and in your life that will stick, not just on Sunday for an hour and 45 minutes. Just a closer walk with Jesus. And I said it during the Sunday school, and please understand what I'm saying, but I won't come on Wednesday night. Then don't sing, "I want a closer walk with Jesus." Brethren, I understand some people got health issues and they can't see. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the ability to be in church. You have the means to be in church, but you're not going to come to church because there's just something a little bit more important than a closer walk with Jesus. Well, preacher, I'm tired. I'm wore out. I've worked all day. I'm just going to take it easy tonight. You ain't saying that to me. You're saying that to God. See, it's easy to sing songs, brethren. It's easy to sing the songs, but can we live what we're singing? Can we live what we sing? Or is it just a bunch of words that makes me feel good for the moment, but in reality, I'm in trouble with the Lord? You say, "Preacher, you're pretty stirred up." Absolutely, I'm stirred up. The Bible says here in Romans, people will say, "Well, you shouldn't judge, preacher. You ought not to judge." And you know who you have the hardest time with? Those within the church. I'm going to say this, and and I understand people got situations and all that. But if one of the reasons you don't come out to sign hold is because you're scared, that's not a God. It's pretty bad when I got a Hispanic boy that just shows up off the nowhere, wants to hold up a sign with the Bible verse on it for a little bit. It's pretty sad when a sodomite woman will come over and want to try to help out just a little bit, holding up a scripture sign for Jesus Christ. Just a closer walk with Jesus. Brethren, God help us. I think sometimes if you could get up here and preach and see the faces out there in the crowd, you'd understand a little bit of why I preach the way I preach sometimes. You're just too hard, preacher. Not enough love. God help us. God help us. John 7:24 says this: "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." 1 Timothy 5:20-21 says, "Them that sin rebuke before all, that others may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another and doing nothing by partiality." Matthew 18:15-18 talk about, the Lord says, "More if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more witnesses, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." We are to judge situations. We are to judge situations. You are to call a spade a spade. If you're going out here and you're getting drunk, it's just fine for me as a preacher to judge the situation and say, "You're not doing right by God." That's not judging. Brethren, we're going to change a little bit of music up in here some too. I'm not singing no more Bill Gaither stuff. No more. I've had enough with him. He just put out a song a year ago. I just found out 2 days ago. "Jesus is everywhere." Wicked. He's in the water. He's in the wine. He's standing next to you in a Starbucks line. And there's a verse in that song talking about a wafer and a priest. So some of the courses, books moving here, one of the reasons they got removed because they got Bill Gaither stuff in it. Another thing I found in that chorus bit, Milan Lefevre. I don't know if you know who he is. I used to have his CDs. Contemporary Christian rock man. Brethren, we need to get back to the old paths. Yes, You see, we get caught up with the emotions of the songs and of the music, and God's nowhere in sight. But it feels good. Touches that old heart there. But how does it reflect in my life? God help us this morning. We need to get back to godliness. We need to get back to prayer. We need to get back to what does the Bible say instead of acting like we know what we're talking about. Thank you for all the precious brethren that come out on a Wednesday night. I love and appreciate you. Your mothers, think about this a second. We got some mothers out here. You think about if you prepared a meal for your children and then you told them what night to come out for the meal and one or two of them showed up when you got 10 kids. And you spent all day trying to cook that meal, make that meal, and then only two kids showed up. Maybe you should dock my pay a little bit and we just cut out Wednesday night. I don't know why I'm on this rabbit trail about Wednesday night, but it bothers me as a preacher. But just a closer walk with Jesus, just a closer walk with Jesus, God help us, God help us. So much the more as ye see the day approaching, assemble yourselves together. Yeah, I paraphrase that. We're living in the last days, preacher. I'm scared. God help us. God help us, Lord Jesus. God help us. Just a closer walk with you, though. God's judgment is according to truth, and there is none that seeks to justify himself, and none will escape the judgment of God. Daniel chapter 4, verse 37 says this, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol." You're talking about a lost king, a pagan king. God humbled him down. He realized that God humbled him down. God got his attention. But the sad thing, like I talked about in Sunday school, Nebuchadnezzar got the answer. Nebuchadnezzar made things right. He was a heathen, pagan, wicked king. God humbled him down. And for all those years, he was out there eating grass like a cow. His fingernails grew long like a bird. His hair grew long. The dew came on his body. And he humbled out the man who thought that he created that kingdom. And he repented of himself. He made himself right with the creator of all the universe. And he says, "I will praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways in judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase." Nebuchadnezzar humbled himself down under the mighty hand of God, but his grandson didn't. Belteshazzar got taken out. What will you do with Jesus this morning? What will you do with Jesus? You see, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Brethren, do you not realize there is an eternity that we have to face and give an account of how we lived for our Savior? We are going to have to give an account to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of how we lived our Christian life. I said it in the Sunday school hour. We maybe in a week spend 4 hours in church. Maybe 4 hours. There's some Christians that spend that in the first morning on television. 4 hours. Watching the news and everything else going on Monday. Brethren, we just want church, or do we want close to God? Do we just come here just to punch our ticket, say, "God, I did give my time this week"? If we showed up to church like we would show up to our job, will we still have a job? Think about that one for a second. If your church attendance was like your job attendance, would you still have a job? You say, "Well, this preacher just wants to fill this church up. It's all about him. He just thinks it's about him. He just wants people." No, it's nothing about me. You don't even know me. You don't know me. You don't know me. You don't know me. You don't know me. I love you. I love every one of you in here. I try to pray for every one of you in here. I cry over some of you all in here, and I pray for you. I love you this morning. And that's why I'm hopefully man enough and godly enough to try to tell you the truth. Not because there's anything good in me, but because of what Jesus Christ did for me. All I know is when I got saved, I wanted to be in church when the doors were open. Amen. No preacher had to tell me. No Sunday school teacher had to bring me along and say, "Now you need to go to church." I wanted to go to church. That was, I guess that just come with the new birth. Brethren, look at Romans chapter number 2, verses 3. He says in the latter part of chapter 3 that thou shalt not, it says that thou shalt escape the judgment of God, thinking that you're going to escape the judgment of God. But I love verse number 4. Or despisest. Like, they just don't like it. They despise. Or despisest thou the riches of who? His goodness and forbearance and long suffering. God this morning to you and to I is forbearing. He's long suffering. He's good. He's merciful to us in our frailty and in the times we let him down. But the Bible says in Peter that judgment must begin at the house of God. Brethren, how many people got on that ark? 8. 8 people got on the ark, and it was one family. Jesus says, as the days of Noe and Lot, so shall it be at the end of the world. Why do we have this miscued thing in our mind thinking that billions of people are going to go home to be with Jesus? Because everybody says that they love Jesus, they really do love Jesus. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my words. Well, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Don't tell me, preacher. I love Jesus. Well, you do what the Bible says. You do what the Bible says. He says next here, the forbearance and long suffering and the goodness of God, that they despise that, not knowing. They don't realize that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God leads to repentance. But verse 5 says this, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. I'm not going to yield. I'm not going to yield, though you put that list up there. I'm guilty. You tell me that God's good because God still let me be alive. Yet I'm not going to soften my heart before God. And in doing so, you treasure up on yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for what? Glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, to them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, the Jew first and also the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respecter of persons with God. God gives us, brethren, this thing's been on my heart this week. God gives us space and time to make things right. God gives us space and time to make things right. Take your Bible and look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse number 10. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10. Now, I'm going to say this as a preacher because I love you and I care for you. You better be careful with Southern gospel music. You better be careful with it. Because not only did Bill Gaither put out this song, and I know some people are going to say, but he had no problem taking a picture with a lesbian couple. Now he's got his excuses for it and his sayings and all that. I've seen it. But that picture sure didn't look like he was being forced to do so. He's hand in hand with the Catholic Church, brethren. Our bylaws here, our constitution, Pastor Gary Freeman put in there, no association with the World Council of Churches, the ecumenical movement. Well, guess who's involved in the ecumenical movement? Bill Gaither. And he's the king and leader of Southern gospel music. I'm just telling you to be careful. I ain't saying that there ain't some good music out there. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you need to be careful. Bill Gaither's like this with Michael W. Smith. I know of what I speak with some of this contemporary Christian music stuff. Bill Gaither's like this with Toby Mac, DC Talk, Catholics. He even put out a record label with Toby Mac. You know who Toby Mac's, one of his favorite singers is? Marilyn Manson. Christians, wake up. Christians, wake up. Wake up, Christians. Your Redeemer's coming soon. Wake up. You talk about the flank that I talked about in Sunday school. He's one of them. Brethren, I love you this morning. I love you this morning. But this thing here, God's trying to get it. What I mean by trying is God's got his hand outstretched, saying, are you going to take a hold of it and you're going to start following me? Or are you going to continue on in the ways of the world and the way the world is dictating things? God does not play games. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Brethren, this thing with Saul grieved Samuel. Samuel, through the Lord made revelation to him. Samuel realized what Saul had done, and it grieved Saul, it grieved Samuel so much so that he prayed unto the Lord all night long for Saul. He cried for Saul all night long. What a sad state we're in today when individuals do not place as much concern over their own Saul and walk with the Lord as those who truly care about them. They spend time with those who in reality and in some action care nothing about eternity and pleasing the Lord. How many a mama and a daddy and a grandma and a grandpa have prayed for a lost child and wept tears and had sleepless nights that God would bring conviction upon them and they would see their need of salvation and the one living in sin could care nothing about it. Saul or Samuel had a concern and a love for Saul so much so that he stayed up for him all night, grieved and praying to God for him. 1 Samuel 15:35 says, and Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. 1 Samuel 15:13 says this. Look at verse number 12, 1 Samuel 15, verse 12. And when Samuel arose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he has set up a place, and has gone about and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. You liar! How's it going, brother? How's it going, sister? Jesus is just so good. I just love Jesus. I love his word. We're just doing good. You liar? You liar? Saul says, I performed the commandment of the Lord. How quickly do those who believe they are obeying the Lord try to justify themselves before the Christians, when in reality they have a rebellious spirit and are serving themselves and how they feel the Lord ought to be worshiped. I've had individuals say, well, I feel, but what does the Bible say? Listen, Proverbs 28, 26 says this, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says this, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, I love my grandma. She's dead and gone now. I don't know if she was saved or not. She claimed to be saved, but I don't know, because she used to say Jesus used to come to her bedside. My grandma was a Pentecostal woman. She said, listen now, brother, I'm telling you, I'm trying to help you out this morning. We got some things in our homes that ought not to be there. Amy Simple McPherson. Some of you don't know who she is. She was one of the pioneer women for the Pentecostal movement. Hand in hand with Benny Hinn, and used to go and pray at grave sites. Joyce Meyer ain't no better. Brethren, I say these things because I love you. You say, well, preacher, why? Because there's false prophets, false teachers trying to creep in unawares who lead captive who? Silly women. Why? I don't know how many women I've had so far since I've been a preacher. Well, I just feel. Well, I just saw. Well, I just hear. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Then how do you get faith? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, preacher, I know what I feel, I know what I saw, I know what I heard, but what does the Bible say? And you know what? When my wife talked to my grandma about what she saw at her bedside, because she used to believe, my grandma used to believe that my grandpa would come back and talk to her at her bedside. And sometimes Jesus would come and talk to her. I got some people in my own family who said they've been to heaven and they've been to hell and they're Christians. You don't know your Bible. Because if you were able to go to heaven, you wouldn't say nothing about it. But because Paul said, I can't, it's unlawful for me to speak of the things I see. But we'll go watch a movie about a little boy who died and says he's going to heaven. Of course he's from God. No, it's a devil influencing him. What does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? What is Jesus? What is the Father? What do they put the emphasis on? A form of godliness. A form of godliness. This is the problem of independent Baptists. Ever learning, never able to come under the knowledge of the truth. We got some smart independent Baptist preachers, but I don't know how many of them know God. They know the Bible inside out intellectually, but otherwise I'm afraid. You see, we do not follow the Lord by what we see. We don't follow the Lord by what we hear. We don't follow the Lord by what we feel, but by faith according to his word. Are you doing this morning what the Lord says in his holy Bible? Look at verse 14. The Bible says, "And Samuel, I perform the commandment of the Lord." Verse 14. "And Samuel said, what meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" You see, you can't hide your life. You can't hide it. You cannot hide how you're supposed to be living for God. It's hard to cover up and keep under wraps sin and the ways of the world in either a lost or saved man's life. You can't cover it up. You can try to cover it up. You can try to run from it. But the answer will be, just like Samuel the small to Saul, "What meaneth then the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen that I hear?" You see, it's going to come out in our life, but we are away from church. I picked up the phone before calling individuals, and they don't even realize I'm on the other end for whatever reason. And they're saying things. I'm thinking, hello? "What meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" Numbers 32:23 says this, "But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Proverbs 5:21-23 says this, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin, and he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." Take this thing apart, and I wrap it around me one time, I'll be able to get out of it. Wrap it around me three times. Tie me up, wrap it around me three times, I'll probably be able to get out of it. But you get somebody who knows what they're doing, and they wrap this whole thing around me, I ain't getting out of it. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs. It says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his own goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden. He shall be holden with the cords of his sins." It ain't the devil. It doesn't say he's holding with the cords of the devils. It says he's holding with the cords of his own sin. First Samuel 15, verse 15. "And Saul said, they have brought them," not that I'm sorry, Samuel, I've sinned against God. "Then Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spare the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice in the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." You see, Samuel, we did this up to a point what God wanted us to do. We did take out all the Amalekites, but you see, Samuel, I got these people in my life, and And they thought that it would be a good idea to keep some of these sheep and to keep some of these oxen so that we can worship God with it. God says, come out from among them and be ye separate. That's why I said, be careful with some of the music you listen to and make sure it's Christ-honoring music. Because it may just be a false sacrifice you're trying to bring to God. And God says, it's got all the right words, but I'm not accepting it. Did not God allow sheep to be offered as sacrifices? Absolutely. Did not God allow oxen to be offered as sacrifices? Absolutely. But not these sheep and not the oxen. Mm-mm. God says, away with them. God says, I want you to utterly take out the Amalekites. You know what God desires for us in our Christian walk? To utterly obliterate this flesh. To mortify, what does the Bible say in Colossians? To mortify, therefore, the deeds of the body. Mortify, that means put to death our flesh. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth through me. Daily, this flesh, go on the cross, and not my will be done, but thine. Brethren, get this point. I've been saying this for weeks now. I've been saying this for weeks, if not months. You better make sure you're bringing a right sacrifice. We think in our mind that if it has Jesus in it, that he'll automatically accept it. But I'm afraid that some Christians are going to get home to heaven someday, and the Bible's going to say, the Lord's going to say, in a sense, I never knew you. I said that the wrong way. But I'll say it in this way, that a lot of things we thought that were pleasing to God at the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord's going to say, that's wood, hay, stubble. You thought it was something that was pleasing to me, but it's wood, hay, stubble. Brendan, can you please explain to me, maybe afterwards we can go to my office and you can talk with me. Please tell me, what is wood, hay, stubble? Please explain it to me. Please explain to me the Bible verse, wood, hay, stubble. What is wood, hay, stubble? Because if you're saved, it's either gold, silver, precious stones, or it's wood, hay, stubble. What is wood, hay, stubble? Well, that's murder, preacher. So I ain't got none of that. Preacher, that's committing adultery. I ain't done that, preacher. So I'm good. I got gold. I got me some gold, precious stone, and silver up there. What about your sorry attitude? What about arrogancy? What about pride? What about obstinacy? I ain't going to listen to you. All right. That's fine. You're right. You don't have to listen to me. But what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? I'm going to try to give you scripture. I'm going to try to give you the Word of God. And know it. I'm going to go back and pray and ask God to give it to me. Brethren, they tried, Saul tried. Now, he's a king now. And that's why I'll say, as a preacher, I'm responsible for this church in this sense of what sacrifices we try to offer up unto God. What you do in your own time, in your own presence, and in your own families, that's between you and God, as long as it's not sin. But it scared me to death. I come in here last night, and I told Melanie, it scares me to death what I'm accountable for. You know, because in my nature, if you know me, if you get to know me, I'm not one for controversy. I'm not one for contention. If you know me, that's not me. God has to help me to say the things that I need to say. Because I'm scared to say them because I'm afraid what the individuals might think of me. That's not my personality. You see, it's not my personality if you get to know me to punch the pulpit. That's not me. And I come in here last night, and I stood right here, and she was back over there still. And it hit me. I said, God, help me to do what's right. Even if most people don't like me for the decisions I got to make, God, I got to do what you want me to do. Amen. By God's grace, as your pastor, I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to try. I'm telling you, by God's grace, I'm going to try. I'm going to try to do what this Bible says. You know, it's like, Lord, I don't want, listen, brother, I don't want to get home. I don't want to get home. I already know I'm going to have a bunch of it already. I already know I'm going to have a bunch of wood, hay, stubble. But these last few days that God gives me, God help me, Lord, to put up some gold, precious silver and stones. God help me. God help me, Lord, help me to stop worrying about what others think. You know, that's why we fall out, because we're too concerned with what others think. And you know what ultimately it is? It's pride. It's selfishness. Because you're concerned about you. You're concerned about how you look. You're concerned about what people think of you. And that's why a lot of people are just stagnant in their Christian walk. That man might yell at me. I'm not going to wear a scripture shirt because somebody might laugh at me. I'm not going to wear a skirt out and about because other women might laugh at me because look at her. She's old fashioned. God help us. God help us. God help us. I want the old paths, preacher. No, I'm not sure you want the old paths. Because I don't think we realize what the old paths were. God help us. God help us. I've said this story before, and I'll say it again. That young woman in a martyr's mirror, that young, precious young girl who was willing to be martyred for her faith in Jesus Christ, when they started to lift up her skirt because they were going to put screws into her shins to torment her and try to get her to recant her Savior, Jesus Christ, when they were pulling her skirt up just a little bit to put those screws in, she was more concerned with being immodest than screws getting ready to go into her shins. Yet Christian women today, supposedly Christian women today, have no problem showing the world every curve they got. God help us. God, that's another thing. I'll make a line over here. Somebody please come to my office and please tell me what Christian modesty is. Please give me a definition of it because I'd like to know what Christian modesty is. I'll give you the definition. It's not drawing attention to yourself. Too many girls today think that they got a cake on and makeup for some guy to like them. No, they don't. And if the only reason a guy likes you is because of the way you look, he's a shallow guy. I preached that at a conference or for a bunch of kids one time. I said, young ladies, be who God created you to be. And stop trying to act like the world, thinking that you'll be accepted because of the way you look. God help us today. What is a Proverbs? Somebody tell me who a Proverbs 31 woman is. Beauty is vain. Favor is deceitful. I love Jesus. God help us this morning, brethren. God help us this morning. God help us this morning. God help us. God help the churches. God help our churches today, dear Lord. God help us. Help me, dear Lord. God help us. He says here in verse number 16, then Samuel said unto Saul, stay while I tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And Saul says, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and he said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? Samuel looks at Saul. Saul says, go ahead, say on, Samuel. Tell me what God spoke to you last night, Samuel. Say on. And Samuel gets down to it and he says, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul falls down on his face and on his knees before Samuel and God and says, I've sinned against God. Verse 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. Samuel or Saul, I don't know what his deal is, but you're giving the answer to him and he can't see it right in front of his face. How many Christians today, you try to talk to them, you try to speak to them, God's trying to get their attention, and it's right in front of their face, and they can't see it. Brethren, that's a scary spot to be in. Because look what the Bible says here real quick. Look at this next. Verse number 21. Again, he's placing the blame on someone else. He's saying it's somebody else's problem rather than his own. He's rather than taking and confronting himself and humbling himself down, saying that I was wrong, I didn't do right, I sinned against God, I've caused issues for my nation, I've caused issue for my people, I brought in discord among the brethren here in Israel, I brought a snare into my own people. He blames it on them, but the people took it as spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which they should have utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord thy God. And Samuel said, look what he says. Samuel says, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? You see, it's better than to obey the voice of the Lord than to sing 1,000 praises to his name. God desires obedience, because if there's no obedience, those 1,000 praises up to his name mean nothing. It is crossed out because of your disobedience. But we don't get that today. You see, God is a God of authority. Authority was established there in the garden. God gave a rule and said, don't do it. He's the authority. Man is to obey. God set up authority in the home. A wife is to obey her husband, so long as it doesn't go against scripture. And God has set up authority in the church. You have a pastor whom you submit to as the authority within the church. Now, if he's a dictator and you don't like him, find you another church and get there. But if not, submit to the pastor. And again, if you know me, you realize that's the last thing I want to do is to be a dictator over your life. If you know me. Brethren going around saying stuff about the pastor, they don't even know me. They don't even know me. God help us. As long as the Lord Jesus Christ allows Chris Welton to be pastor at Ray Street Baptist Church, I'm going to try to do things by that book. I'm going to try to go by that book. And if the congregation dwindles down to 5 people who love God and want to serve God, amen, we'll go forward. And if God chooses to grow it to 300 that want to follow God and serve God, amen, we'll go forward with the Lord. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. And if you want to sit in your misery and in your rebellion and in how you don't like how I do things, then be miserable. But if you want to get on the happy train, I'm more than willing to slow down a little bit for you to get on. You know what we need a little bit? We need a little bit of joy. We need a little bit of happiness. We need a little bit of smiles on our face because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. God help us. I've had people say, all you preach is gloom and doom. Well, that's because it's all that's going on right now. You're causing me to preach the gloom and doom until you get right, and then we can have some joy. My estimation, I never knew your daddy and I never knew your husband. My estimation of him, to the moon. Gary Freeman, I never met him, but I admire him. Pastor Doss, my pastor, my estimation of him, through the moon. Me and another preacher were talking the other day. He said, if God ever took us out of ministry, we'd make the best deacons there ever were. Oh, yeah. We make the best deacons there ever were. Preacher don't do this. The pastor doesn't do that. Why is he doing it this way? Why is he doing it that way? Bunch of grumbling sheep. What happened with the children of Israel? What did they say about the manna? this light bread coming down from heaven, angels' food. Yeah, I know, but it's just this light bread. Give me something that pleases my flesh. The garlics, the leeks, and the onions, something with flavor. Yeah, and you didn't realize you were in bondage too. And you had a hard taskmaster. But it tasted good. Come with a beating, though. Now I'm almost done. Obey the voice of the Lord. Look what he says in verse 22, latter part. Behold to obey. Behold to obey. Behold to obey. That means there must be something to listen to. Behold to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. Look at verse 23. Now this is the scary part. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. No, I haven't rejected. I perform the commandments of the Lord. No, Saul, you've rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, oh, too late, buddy. I believe in verse 15, that's the cutoff. From verse 15 down to verse 19, I believe it was the last passing through for Saul to get things right. And when Saul made that comment in verse number 20, you had your opportunity, Saul. That's fearful to me. God tries to get our attention. God's got his hand outstretched if any will guard him. And that's what I mean by try, because the Lord's not going to make you do it. He's got his hand outstretched. He's made the ways to make things right. He's provided the perfect sacrifice, but he's not going to force you to make it right. Saul had an opportunity, a space of repentance to make this thing right before God, and he made another excuse. And I believe at that point, the Lord was like, I'm done with it. You have lost the kingdom. You've rejected the word of the Lord. I'm going to reject you now as being king. And now all of a sudden, when things get this bad, Saul's like, uh-oh, he's serious. I've sinned against the Lord. Too late, Saul. Too late, buddy. You see, we think as Christians that God's always there and will be always there to answer our call. Let me just say lost individuals. Lost individuals. They think that there's this God in heaven and that he'll always be there to answer me when I'm ready for him to answer me. Honey, it don't work that way. He's the one doing the dialing and the calling. You're the one that picks up the phone. And if the phone ain't ringing, you can't pick it up. God's calling. You got to pick the phone up and answer it. But if that phone rings and rings and rings and rings, guess what you do if you're on the other end of a phone and it's ringing? You're going to hang it up. You ain't going to stay there all day, let it ring, ring, ring. You're going to give it maybe one or two tries, and then you're going to be like, yep, that's it, they're not home. That's the way of the Lord. God's merciful, God's gracious, but God's not going to continue to keep calling if you keep hanging up on him. Read Proverbs chapter 1. He says here that he's in rebellion. It's as a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness and iniquity, or stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And Saul says, I've sinned against the Lord, verse 24, for I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words. Look what he says. This is where the problem comes in. Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. God help me as a pastor to not fear the people nor their voice, nor their faces, like he told Jeremiah. God told Jeremiah, don't fear their faces, because you're going to get faces, Jeremiah. Don't fear their faces, you just do what I want you to do. Verse 25, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin. If you go back through this story all the way through, Saul messes up because he says, thy God. Look what he says here. He says in verse 25, he says, now therefore I pray thee. Saul, you need to be praying out to God. He says in verse 26 and verse 25, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin. No, he needs to be asking God to pardon his sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. This man is so deluded, it isn't even funny. Verse 26, and Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. You want me to come worship with you, and you don't even realize that you're not worshiping God. We're not. Samuel's saying to Saul, sir, we're not serving the same God here. The God I worship, I need to obey what his word says. You're the king, and you got another God who you're worshiping, and I hope you to see this, that it's you that you're worshiping. You want to do Saul, and it's your own worship. It's not worship to God. Verse 26, and Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And Samuel turned about to go away, and he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and he rent it. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord thy God, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said again, I have sinned, but look what he wants. But look what he wants. Oh, the heart comes out, Saul. The heart comes out. Yes, I have sinned, yet honor me now. I pray thee before the elders of my people, because I'm about to look bad, Samuel. Samuel, you realize what these people are going to think of me? I'm going to look bad in front of my people before Israel. And turn again with me, and please show these people that we're worshiping the same God, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Well, he thought he worshiped the Lord. I'm going to close with this verse right here this morning, if I can find it. Take your Bible and look over at 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 7. 1 Samuel 28, verse 7. We're going to close back here. Saul got a warning. Saul refused to heed the warning. And Samuel said to Saul, listen, your rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and your stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Now Saul would look at Samuel and say, Samuel, I'm not performing no witchcraft here, Samuel. Actually, I'm trying to bring to God the things he said to bring, like sheep and oxen. I'm doing what God said. No, no, you're not doing what God says. And because of your disobedience, because of your rebellion, because of you trying to worship God the way you want to worship God, you don't realize that it is just as if you're committing witchcraft. It's just as if you're in iniquity and idolatry, because you're not doing what the Bible says. Well, Samuel, I never worship a witch. I'd never go to a witch, and I never. 1 Samuel 28, verse 7. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said unto him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. And he went, and the two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest that Saul hath the... Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he had cut off those wizards out of the land, whereof thou layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die. Saul, here we go again. Saul covered himself up. If he ain't doing nothing wrong, why are you disguising yourself? He covers himself up. He seeks a familiar spirit, which means a demon. A familiar spirit is a demon or evil spirit supposed to attend at a call. But in a general sense, we say it's a familiar spirit. He's asking this woman to call up a devil, to call up a familiar spirit. Brethren, once we're dead, we're dead. You ain't seeing that individual again. And if you do think you see that individual, you're not seeing them, you're seeing a devil. You see, how could it get to a point in Saul's life when at one time in his nation and in his home, he put to death and put out the wizards and the witches and the enchantments and those with familiar spirits. He put them out of the land because they were ungodly. Yet he has rejected the counsel of the Lord. And years later now, he's found himself in a position, I believe at the first, he never thought he would be in, to where now he's seeking a familiar spirit rather than seeking God. How did this all come about to be? Because he had a false notion of how God was to be worshipped. He thought what he was doing was worship and honor to God, when in reality it was rebellion and stubbornness. And it started off small. He had an opportunity to make it right. He didn't listen to God. He didn't listen to his counselors, which were Samuel. He chose to go his own way and do things his own way. And now he finds himself to where he can't find God nowhere. So he tries to go to someone that earlier he would have put to death and had no association with. How many Christians fall into sin and they think, I'll never get to this point. And that years later they look back and they realize, how did I get to this point? Because you didn't kill it back there 10 years ago. You didn't put it to death 10 years ago. You thought you could handle it. You thought you could keep it control. You thought you could handle that rattlesnake without it ever biting you. And now it's bitten you. Verse 10. And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And look who he wants all of a sudden now. And he said, bring me up Samuel. Why do you want me to bring Samuel up now? If you didn't listen to him when he was walking on this planet, what makes you think you're going to listen to him now that he comes back from the dead? You see, a lot of people think this today. They think if someone were to come back from the dead, people would hear him. Jesus says, no, they won't. Jesus said they have Moses and the prophets. And if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, neither would they hear one though he came back from the dead. Brethren, we're going to close here. And this morning, we're going to close with no music. We're going to close with prayer here. I'm going to dismiss you, and I hope you have a good rest of the afternoon. But brethren, to me, the Lord laid these messages on my heart that we as a church take these things seriously. The warning that God may be giving us, the warning that God may be showing us to make sure that, number one, we're where we need to be with the Lord and that we're doing it according to Scripture. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. I thank you for this precious book. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Dear God, I thank you for your mercy. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Lord, I pray this morning, God, that we would heed, Lord, your long-suffering, your mercy, your grace, your forbearance. Lord, I pray this morning, dear God, that we wouldn't have the spirit of Saul, but the spirit of David. Lord, David, when confronted about his sin, when confronted about the way he was going and what he had done, he said, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against the Lord. And David was willing to make it right. God, help us this morning, Lord, as Ray Street Baptist Church to do things according to Scripture, not according to what we see, feel, or what our heart is telling us. God, help us, Lord, to be obedient, dear God. Help us to be obedient to your word. Help us not to be forgetful hearers, Lord, but doers of what your Scripture says. Lord, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for dying on that cross. Lord, thank you, Lord, for spaces and time to repent and make things right. And God, I pray you'd help these precious people this morning, Lord, God, protect us. I ask, Lord, that you protect us on the roadways as we head home. Lord, bless our time together with here and with family, Lord. Lord, if it be your will, Lord, and you allow us to do so, I pray you'd bring us back here safely again this evening. And we just thank you now for all these things. And I pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Brethren, love you. Dismissed. Lord willing, see you tonight.